Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 28th, 2015. Today is Saturday in the fifth week of Lent. Episcopal priest and author Robert Capon once remarked, "Jesus never met a dead person he didn't raise." There are three recorded instances in the Gospels of Jesus encountering someone who had died. Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus. And in all three instances, according to the Gospels, Jesus raised them from the dead. Now, all of those instances are recorded in different Gospels, and in some ways those stories represent to us as Christians living on this side of the resurrection, Jesus' power over death. I think it's important to note, though, that Jesus raised these three individuals from the dead, which is different than resurrecting them. All three of these people, if we believe that they were actually raised from the dead, and for my own personal proclivity, I see no reason not to believe that. But they, all three, eventually died again. Because resurrection is unique. And resurrection is unique to Jesus, which is what we will be celebrating in just a few short days. Anyway, today, in the Gospel of John, for the daily office, John chapter 11, we read the second half of the raising of Lazarus. In the case of the other two people, the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter, Jesus seemed to have no previous connection to these people. They were strangers to him. But in the case of Lazarus, as we noted yesterday, Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were dear to Jesus. They were his friends. In spite of the fact that Jesus delays his coming to his friend Lazarus' sickbed, he eventually shows up. By the time he shows up, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And there are people in the professional mourner camp who are saying to themselves, "You know, somebody that can open the eyes of the blind, surely if he'd have been here with his friend before his friend died, he could have healed his friend of his illness." Even then, it was difficult for people to believe. As we said yesterday, Martha, Lazarus' one sister, says to Jesus, "If you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And even today, in his encounter with Lazarus' other sister, Mary, Mary says something of the same. "Why weren't you here?" Jesus goes to the tomb, the cave, where they have buried Lazarus, and there's a stone in front of it. And the gospel records that Jesus wept at the tomb. We don't really know why he was weeping. Plenty of people around, and I would suspect that he was weeping because he loved Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend, and he was grieving. Other commentators have suggested that he was weeping because nobody believed in him. Be that as it may, Jesus prays a prayer, and he has them roll away the stone. In spite of their objections about that, they roll away the stone. Jesus prays the prayer. And then Jesus says simply, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Gospel of John records the dead man came out. Now there was no doubt in the crowd that the man had been dead, and now he's walking and breathing in front of them. Whether we believe this story literally or take it in some other way, what John is getting at by telling it is that Jesus has the power over life and death. Earlier in the gospel, and again when Jesus is in front of Pilate at his trial, he will say, "My life is my own, to lay it down or to take it up again. It's within my power." And so by raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus demonstrates to the crowd that he has the power over death. Something of that remains for us as Christians. As followers of this one who claimed power over death, we claim that death doesn't have the last word. This does not mean that when a loved one dies, we are impervious to grief. If Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, we can certainly weep at the graves of our friends and loved ones. No, Jesus was not impervious to the impact of the death of his friends, and neither are we. But as people of faith, we claim that the one we follow will have the last word over death. And Jesus' word to death is life. I think that's important as we get ready to walk the way of the cross. And we're going to walk it the whole way. And we don't need to move too quickly to Easter. We don't need to move too quickly to, quote, the happy ending, unquote. We need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus, through his passion, his trial, his forsakenness, his death. Because when we walk with Jesus in those days, we realize that when we face our own brushes with death, that Jesus walks with us. We walk the way of Jesus' death as a reminder to ourselves that Jesus walks through our shadows of death with us. And one day, according to our belief as Christians, we will hear the Good Shepherd's voice. At the last day, that day of resurrection, we will hear him say, "Come forth." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your death you took away the sting of death. Grant to us, your servants, so to follow in faith where you have led the way, that we may at length fall asleep peacefully in you and wake up in your likeness, for your tender mercy's sake. Amen.